Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And I am joined by Micah Branson today, who is filling in for Pastor Margaret, but she is no stranger to Hope Talks. I mean, we might as well call her one of our co-hosts. So, Micah, how are you doing today?
I'm happy to be here. Share one of my favorite testimonies that lives and walks among us.
And that leads me into what I was going to say next. Micah, would you like to introduce our guest today?
I would always volunteer to introduce Derek Cash. I learned to know him because I coached softball for 8 years at EMU here locally, and I ended up coaching the girl that he married. And so he continues to show up. I think his is a ministry of presence today. And his story is that of a redeemed soul that's one of my favorites, along with his wife. They continue to show up in our community, coaching ball. They have 3 children right now and another one on the way. And so growing family and a bright spot. For those of y'all that can't see this, Derek showed up in a truck today with some mowers on the back. So on his day off, he is headed to mow for people and beautify. Wow. And he just is a guy who shows up because God showed up in his life.
What a servant's heart. That sounds like a servant's heart to me, somebody who's helping others on their day off. Well, Derek, it's good to have you. And just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
My name's Derek Cash. How I grew up, I grew up in a small town about an hour and 10 minutes from here, Buena Vista, Virginia. Growing up, I was raised by a single mother who struggled with addiction. And my father was in prison for the first 8 years of my life. And throughout my childhood, my home life was pretty chaotic. A lot of drinking and drugs going on. Really no structure. I learned about drugs and chaos throughout my whole childhood. My mom tried to be the best mom that she could be, but we all know addiction, you know, overpowers those things unless you allow God into your life. So her doing what she could at her best, I just got more and more distant from a structured home and a good environment and ended up in and out of the foster care system. Throughout my childhood, while my dad was in prison, I would go visit him on weekends. And my great-grandmother, who was really the only God figure in my life at that time, she would take me to see him, and he would make all these promises about what a great father he's going to be when he comes home. And, you know, I really look forward to that. And as time went on, my mom got incarcerated about the same time that my dad came home from prison. And those promises that he made didn't stand very long. So as he came home and my mom was incarcerated, he did some things and got more distant from me more distant from him. And I just kind of got involved in the foster care system and really got lost in the system. Throughout my childhood, I could probably name 15 to 20 different placements. Wow. In foster care that I bounced from. And that led to more addictions and more trauma, and later ended up going into the Department of Correction system as a young adult.
Well, I can't imagine growing up the first 8 years of your life without your dad really present in your life, and having a mom that struggled, and then going into the foster care system and having no really foundation, any where you can put roots down, so to speak. But one thing that stuck out to me, and I want to ask about this, you talked about your grandmother being the only really God example that you had in your life. What was it about your grandmother that showed Christ to you?
Well, for one, she raised my dad and 3 of my uncles. So all those boys that she was raising, and they were wild boys. They wasn't easy going, that's for sure. She was just so gentle. And, you know, she passed away before I was 9 or 10 years old. And now that I look back and reflect on that, just the little things. I don't know if you remember the vapor rub the menthol stuff. I had real bad asthma when I was a kid, but she would rub that on my chest and my back and just sing little songs like Jesus Loves Me. And she would always tell me, you know, the promises that he had on my life, praying before meals. And then I would leave that home and go back to my home where it was chaos. And at this time, she was at an age where she really couldn't take care of me. Right. But now that I reflect on those things, it's like, man, that's where God was in this part of my life.
Yeah. Call it prevenient grace, grace that goes before us. We might not realize it at the time, but I think that speaks to the importance of grandparents or even parents when kids are a young age doing small things like singing Christian songs or showing love. Especially in chaos, like you said, unstable situations, you noticed there was something different when you were with her.
Absolutely.
I think when you were talking about the promises that didn't come true, yeah, it's because we're placing God-sized expectations right on men. I've done that a lot in my life. And so tell us about finding a good, good father whose promises are true. What does that look like in your life?
Well, sometimes like we look for promises, you know, from man, it don't show up. It don't come to you as you expect it or as they tell you. But what I've learned about God and turning my heart to him and standing on his promises is he don't let you down. You might not always get the answer that you're looking for or the answer that you want, but what his scripture says and what his word says is what you receive. And sometimes it takes time to receive those things that God has promised. Receiving those promises sometimes takes lots of prayer, lots of faith. It's just been a blessing. You know, the more I seek him, the more I read his word, the more he shows up in my life. And, you know, it's easy when you're getting everything to kind of slack off those things. But God will quickly remind you, hey, you're getting far from me. You know, so just having someone like the God we serve to really depend on and trust. Yeah. He's restored all the brokenness from a father who let me down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think of scripture says he's a father to the fatherless. And that really sounds like he's exemplified that in your life. You didn't have a good earthly father example, and nobody's perfect. Even those of us who are fortunate enough to have godly fathers doesn't mean they're perfect, but some people have fathers that exemplify Christ and others don't, but we all have our heavenly father. And just talk about how he's brought forgiveness and restoration and that kind of stuff in your life from the earthly situation that you had to grow up, especially the inconsistency and the unstability early on in your life, how he's kind of redeemed you, but also redeemed maybe situations where forgiveness and restoration was needed in certain relationships.
So the big word, I was really, you know, looking over something about restoration this morning, and that word really stands out to me because I've become the same father that I didn't like, that I didn't appreciate, that I didn't approve. I have a 14-year-old daughter. Her name's Addison. And I was 18 or 19 years old when I had her, and my addictions kind of took over my life, and I was absent in her life. She's from Griffin, Georgia. Things didn't go well between me and her mother, and we separated, and I came back to Virginia. Later ended up going to prison, as I spoke before. And during that time of incarceration, it was a quick reminder that, hey, you've become what you hated so much, that what you disliked, and you're absent from your daughter. And that 4 years that I was incarcerated, things were very hard, not because I was incarcerated, but because I had no connection, no contact. I would write letters. There was no response. So she grew to not know who I was. And today, you know, I wake up and I'm blessed by the Lord that my daughter, who I was so distant from and who I didn't have a relationship with because of my actions, now lives with me. So God is really just, I mean, that's the big thing in my life right now is he's restored that relationship. There was an opportunity for my wife and I just to take on the challenge of a 14-year-old girl. We all know that that can be very challenging and just help her with her education and stuff. And now when she wakes up or when she gets ready for bed, we can pray together. We can text each other. And it's like that relationship never had a gap because God restored it. I didn't do it on my own. For the last 8 years, I've tried to do that on my own, and it didn't happen. God gave it to me when I was supposed to have it. So, yeah, forgiving my dad for the things that he's done and the absence that he's put into my life, I truly feel like that was the difference in God giving me this opportunity. Because technically, I'm no different than him, I did the same things that he did. Me and him still don't have a relationship, but I'm at peace with it.
I'm convicted by the story of David, who's described as a man after God's own heart, yeah. Right? And David had some pretty horrific sins by the world's standards, but the world's standards don't matter. God looks at the heart posture, and I think what's convicted me lately is the scripture that says that he turned from those sins.
Right.
And he was after God's own heart because God could redeem him, and he allowed that to happen in his life. Yeah. And that doesn't happen without forgiveness as well.
Right.
So it's a continual surrender.
Micah, you know, you were talking about David. Well, by the end, he had basically broken all the commandments. It was bad enough that he committed adultery with Bathsheba, but then he had her husband murdered.
Well, and he saw it clearly in the end. You know, he sackcloth and ashes, and he grieved over his own sin. And when we see it clearly, we're able to walk away from it and say, I don't want that for my life. I don't want to be that person. And God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And that's why Derek's is one of my favorite stories, because he's doing a new thing. And embracing that change in that relationship with a perfect, perfect father.
Yeah, and it's a great story of redemption. It doesn't matter what you've done or how far away from God is. You're never too far away for God to reach you. And if you still have breath in your lungs, so to speak, if you're not dead, God's not done in your life. Derek, you mentioned the word surrender. Just talk about what surrender has looked like in your life.
That's a really big one there because, well, for me, surrender before I really had a relationship with Christ was give up the things that you struggle with. But in reality, we also have to give up the things that we enjoy to the Lord. Surrender means to give it all. And what I've learned about fully surrendering is that when you surrender everything, the things you thought you enjoyed before, God shows you something different, that you might not enjoy those things. The things that you didn't enjoy, God can bring light to those things and you can begin to enjoy them. So just like fully surrendering, I've learned a lot. And, you know, you really change your avenue about things you like and you don't like. And I feel like surrendering is a daily thing because the flesh is going to search and find new things that it enjoys that it shouldn't.
And that's a great, I love how you worded that. Surrender it and just surrendering our bad habits. Surrendering can be surrendering good things that maybe we've put too much, I don't want to say faith, but we enjoy. And it's like God needs to know that we're willing to give away the good things. So like what you said, Mike, about doing something new. Well, doing something new can take us from doing things that aren't good or aren't healthy, but it can also, too much of a good thing might not be a good thing also, because we need to make sure that we're putting our trust in him and not putting our trust in worldly things. So, yeah, that's good. Thanks for sharing, Derek. I'm really encouraged by that. Really spoke to me. I think of the worship song, actually, as at the time of this recording, the previous Sunday, we sang it as the benediction at church, Available. And it's talking about surrendering all, about I give it all.
There's this moment that's convicted me lately where Jesus is in the garden knowing what's about to come prior to the cross, right? And he asks for this cup to be removed from me. There's things in all of our lives we would say, would you please remove this? But then right after that, Jesus says, not my will be done, but yours. And giving that over to him, I think it's beautiful that you use the example of the things in life. Derek and his wife and I share a deep love of softball. And I've been convicted lately, you know, as I've gotten older, when I get to play now, it's a completely different headspace that it comes from and heart space. Which is a gratefulness to be able to play. There's no frustration when I fail. Of course, my daughter likes to point out, hey, mommy, and what you tell me. But there is this just gratefulness in realizing that whatever talent you may have, it's not for you. It was for his kingdom. And that's just a beautiful place to come from with anything that you're doing.
And that's, I mean, the story about Jesus in the garden is the perfect example to us as Christians of what true surrender is. We can ask for God to take the suffering away, but knowing that even if he doesn't, we're surrendered to whatever he has for us, and knowing that he'll be with us. Like it says, yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He's with us. Very oftentimes I've heard people say, he doesn't take the suffering away, but he gives us strength to get through it. You know, we're coming. That's the encouragement I've heard my dad say this before. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, walk through it. We're not going to stay there. We're coming out on the other side.
That's good.
Well, and he gives us provision in it too. And so I've introduced Derek before as like an answer to prayer because I knew Heather first, his now wife, and watched her as I was coaching her make some decisions and go down a road. And all I could do was pray at that time. Didn't know I was praying for this guy here beside me, but I prayed for those struggles to be removed from her life in some capacity. And I think the reality of how God answered that prayer is he gave her a lot of people to walk with. Mm-hmm. Derek would be one of them that was incredibly powerful, but I think he gave you two together to walk towards the light.
That's good. While you're speaking about prayer, I'd like to add just how important praying for someone else and praying for yourself is. I actually shared my testimony one time in Buena Vista. It's probably been 2 or 3 years ago. And the principal, that was my principal growing up. Wow. I mean, I was a knucklehead then. So for her to show up, Miss Teague, was special. Not only was it special that she showed up to hear my testimony, but she was a part of my testimony. And at the end of that, I walked out to, you know, greet people. And she said, it took 30 years for my prayers to be answered.
Wow.
And today they've been answered. And I was like, what do you mean? She said, I've been praying for you since you was a little kid. And that was just so special. But by her prayers and her faithfulness, God restored something that day in her life. She hadn't seen someone that, I think it was her dad, that showed up there on that same day for the testimony, not with her, but God then restored their two relationships that day. So just praying for people is, it's powerful. It's great. And that also reminds me of how has God answered prayers in my life this year. This is a really sore subject, but I do want to speak on it because we all go through struggles and we all have things that we face, the giant that we face. 2 years ago on April 20th, my wife lost her brother. And when she lost her brother, she was at an all-time high of her faith. I had prayed for her to continue. You know, we always want our spouse to walk with us at the same pace. Right. That's not what God's called us to do. And he showed me that through this storm. She was singing praise and worship songs, like posting them on Facebook. And I'm like, man, who is this girl? This is amazing. She was at a, like I said, an all-time high of her faith, her walk, her talk. Everything was just great. Well, you know, when God's doing something great in your life, guess who shows up? The devil. And when this situation took place with my wife's brother, she didn't stop having faith or stop trusting God. But she had the big question of why?
Yeah.
Why me? Why him? And she couldn't continue to praise as much, as hard, as good in that storm. And over the last year and a half, I prayed every day that God would restore her relationship with him, that he would give her a set of eyes to see that there's promises, even though there was a struggle. And, you know, over the last couple months, it's been hard, but she's always remained faithful. And just to see God restore, even though something was so broken, it's just a, it's a promise to see that only God can do that. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that it was prayer that helped her restore the relationship. So anyone that's listening to this, keep praying for those who you think it's not ever going to get it. You know how many people told me that I was never going to amount to anything, that I was never going to make it? But also in the same hand, I had people praying that I would make it. And I truly feel like I'm where I'm at. My family's where they're at today because of those teachers, those principals, those counselors that prayed for me.
Yeah. Even when God seems silent in our lives, he's still there. And you talked about your wife being at kind of the top spiritually in her life right before that happens. I think of something that I've heard my dad say before. When you're on target, you become a target of the enemy. Like, he wants our faith not to be strong. He wants us to doubt. God, he's a big God. He can take those questions. He can take the, so taking those doubts to him is what we need to do. And obviously, I'm sure you being in her life and praying for her and has been huge, I'm sure. And that as along with when you were talking about sharing your testimony in Buena Vista and having your, I believe it was the principal
right.
of your school that had been praying 30 years. Man, that's a testament of don't give up people praying for people that you think are too far gone, because they're not too, no, nobody's too far gone for God. And just, you know, there's people that I know that are lost that it would be easy to be like, Lord, like I've been praying for this person. Like, are they ever going to come to you? Well, that's a great testament to me to keep praying, not give up praying for people.
There's more rejoicing in heaven right. over the lost sheep that is returned mm-hmm. and redeemed than there is over the 99 right. that were already there. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a communal celebration.
Yeah. Derek, it's been great to have you today. What else would you like to share about your testimony that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
There's one story that I share every chance I get about when God spoke to me. I shared that here at the Hunt to Harvest. If you guys have never been to the Hunt to Harvest, show up. It's a great time. Great food. Even if you don't like to shoot big bucks, it's good to hear about it.
Yeah, Micah and Chad helped lead that. So
we're going to have a hard time filling the shoes of your testimony, because I can tell you that that has been probably the number one feedback I got from this year is, man, that guy that lives in Broadway, I was in tears. You know, just that the power of your story when it's somebody who lives and breathes and walks in our community, it just makes it more real. God's restoration is walking among you.
And God's restoration is the only way that can be possible. I tried to do it on my own a lot, and it just didn't work out. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. You know, sometimes I just ride in my truck, whether I'm going from yard to yard mowing or on my way to work. I'm just thankful. I really am. Sometimes I just ask, like, why? Why did I get chose for this? And we all have an opportunity to get chose for something great, and that's just by trusting that God can do it and God will do it. But the story I'd like to share is God speaks to us all, whether we want to listen to his voice or not. Flashback to when I was 16 years old, I had bounced around throughout the foster care system, and God had spoke to me at a place called Lunenburg Correctional Center. I was in foster care at the time, and they had told us we were going to this like scare straight program at Lunenburg Correctional Center, and I've always been fascinated with prisons. I still love prisons. I know why now, because I do prison ministry at the local jails and correctional facilities. Sometimes you have to go through things to understand them so God can use you. But we got on a van and we went over to this prison. And now that I look back, it was the first time that God had been like, hey, I'm here, listen. So we go through these, it's a sally port where one gate opens, it has to close before the next gate opens. And the prison rec yard out here, it was completely empty. And as I looked over there, I could visualize myself. And God said, if you don't change, this is where you're going to end up. His voice was loud. And of course, I didn't listen. So I go in, the inmates talk about their stories and they share their testimonies and things like that. And time's up. I leave. I walk through that same sally port, same vision, same voice, loud and clear. If you don't change, this is where you're going to end up. So I leave there. We go back to Concept One Academy's foster care. It's like a group home. And things go on. They end up shutting the facility down later on. I bounced around a couple different places. And fast forward to my life, I ended up going to Rockbridge Regional Jail, Middle River Jail, Farmville Jail, Powhatan Receiving. I went to Pocahontas, I went to Lunenburg Correctional Center. And that was 9 years later in my life. God had spoke to me when I was 16. 9 years later, I ended up at the same place that he told me that if I didn't change, this is where I was going to end up. And as I look back and reflect, how many other times did I miss God's voice? You know, if I would have just listened then and not allowed the flesh to just continue to control my life, how many lives could I have changed before now? How much impact could I have before now? So sometimes it's just a simple as listen to what God's telling you. And if you're not sure it's God's voice, he'll give you confirmation. Yeah. So 9 years later, I end up at this facility, August 9th, 2016. I walk out of the same sally port that I walked in when I was 16 years old. And even though I didn't listen then, and I had to go through all those things to end up right where he told me, if you don't change, this is where you're going to end up. I walked out of that same Sallyport, same vision. The only difference was God said, hey, you got a chance to get it together now. It don't have to be the way it's been. And when I left there, you know, I was on fire to do something different. And I went home, and within 2 weeks of being home, I had, you know, relapsed in my life, and 4 years of prison, had no intentions on doing anything ungodly or worldly anymore. And I went home and fell short again. But just a quick reminder that God reminds me daily, just because you fail don't mean you don't have to get back up,
right,
or you can't get back up. And from that moment of messing up, even though I didn't have no intentions on messing up anymore, I began to really like just turn my life to him and pray for things. And you know, God's really showed up in my life. And since 2016, I haven't looked back. So listen to God's voice. He's speaking to us for sure.
Powerful. Thank you for sharing, Derek.
I think he's speaking to you saying you're a treasured son of God.
Yep.
And what's interesting is one of the first times I think I met you in person, we laughed and called it the Last Supper because we went to like the last Winter Jam concert before COVID-19 hit and everything shut down. It was Derek and his wife, some other softball friends, and my daughter. And there was a moment there where there just happened to be a young lady next to me. They prompted us to pray, and I prayed with her. And so Derek snaps this picture, and I didn't even know it at the time, but he spoke a word over my life and said, this is who you are. And I'll never forget Derek saying, hey, this is who you are.
Yeah, it was something for work or something that you were doing a survey or something of who am I?
Yes.
I think on Facebook, and I saw that, and God quickly reminded me of this beautiful picture that was taken, because she wasn't praying over somebody to be seen. She was praying over somebody because this is truly who she is.
Right.
That's so, right. You just dropped that in the comments. And I was like, that wasn't the direction I was going, but I mean,
yeah, that's,
we bring you to tears and your knees and say, this is what we are created.
That's special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the enemy would want us to say that we're our past, but God says, no, you're a redeemed child of God. Like those sins, it says in the Bible, he throws them as far as the east is from the west.
We were made to walk out of the prison gates.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful that you walked out of the same ones that you first heard God in.
Yeah, that's special. Yeah. And now I get to go back in those, but I get to leave on my own free will.
Yeah, you get to bring hope to those that were in the same situation you were in and let them know that there is hope on the other side, that they can make it through. So, yeah.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And you're bringing those light to prison places.
Yep. Light and darkness. Yep. Well, thank you for joining us today, Derek. Just one final question I have. We call this program Hope Talks. So what has given you the most hope in your life right now?
Just putting my faith in God and him reminding me that I'm not who I once was.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be who I was told I was going to be. Or reminding me that the failures have been paid for. You know, sometimes we can do something wrong and get so caught up on that we did it wrong that we can't move forward to do something new or something better. And God just reminds me that, you know, that debt has been paid for.
Yeah.
So just walking with him daily is my goal. Sometimes things happen in our lives that want to pull old things out of the closet. Me personally, I'm just in a season of my life where I'm just, as I told you before, just grateful and thankful for what he's doing in my life. And like I tell people all the time, I'm a millionaire. Like I couldn't have anything better. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of fame, material things that I would want over what I have.
Yeah.
And I only have that because I put my trust in the Lord.
And we have God's grace and forgiveness. That's better than wealth. It's knowing that you're in the center of God's will for your life.
Store up your riches in heaven.
Where moth and rust do not destroy.
I think you got a mansion up there.
I do. I really do. It's, you know, I get to lead my home the way I desperately wanted someone to lead me.
Right.
You know, I get to teach my kids how to pray.
Right.
I get to teach my kids how to walk with the Lord and how to be just kind and generous and how to stay away from addictions. And, you know, I truly believe that the generational curses that's you're battling with, if you don't fight them and defeat them with the Lord, that your kids will. And I'm grateful that I'm in a position and place that I know how to defeat those, so I can teach them how to do the same thing. And that's just trusting God.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. The Bible says that the Lord restores what the locusts have eaten, and he's done that in your life. Derek, it's been great to hear your testimony today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Micah, thank you for joining us also. It's been great to have you as a co-host today.
Thank you. It gives me great hope to share a story as powerful as this one.
Yep. It has brought me hope today for sure. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Derek Cash's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.